I just want to pray, because the message might change just because of what the Lord has already done this morning. So Lord, I thank you. I thank you that we serve a living, active God. I thank you that we are in a place where we can worship you, and we can find your heart for one another, and we can find your presence, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that we will be this morning open hearts, clean hands, and pure minds before you. Mm-hmm. Oh Lord, you are worthy of all our praise. You are worthy of all honor, all glory, and all power, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So, I grew up as Afrikaans ookie. So, ek kan met altyd voetoskop, ek kan Afrikaans en Engels praat. And when I joined the church, there was a lot of words that floated around that kind of confused me, because as Afrikaans dude, hearing words like righteousness, sanctification, justification, all of these words, I was shocked and in awe of, not knowing very little English. I spoke broken English at best, and it was a struggle. And oftentimes we find ourselves in a place where we speak Christianese more. There we go. We speak Christianese more than what we actually speak, a language that we understand. And this morning, I'm going to start off with a story. And the story is, what do you see? We've been fasting, we've been praying, and in the fast, we've asked each other to look at what? The cross. And then in the cross, what do we look at? Who do we look at? Jesus. And then past that, what do we see? The resurrected Christ. And as you minister on that, and as you think of that, there's one word that often pops up, and it's the word worthy. But did you know the biblical definition of the word worthy means differently to the definition in our dictionary? Did you know that? So the definition in the dictionary says, having high value, merit, or skill to deserve respect, attention, or support. But worthy, in the biblical definition, in the Old Testament, came from the word kabot, which meant primary for glory, honor, but then translates to means heavy or weighty. And then in the New Testament, it means axios. We're going to say that a few times today. And the word worthy in axios means to weigh, or to balance. So if I can use an image for you to see what worthiness looks like, it's not old school scales that you have this side, you have a little ball, and on this side you have a ball, and then you put things in to match it out. And when it matches perfectly, that is called worthy. In the Greek, it's called axios. It means that is exactly right. It is as it should be. And this morning, we are going to look at how our perspective of worthiness of Jesus can shape the way we worship Him, can shape the way we live our lives, and can even shape the way we react on Sundays. Are you guys ready? Are you sure? There's a lot of ministry that's already happened, so I'm going to try and keep it as short and sweet as possible. But I'm going to start off with a picture that I think all of you would look at and you'd be like, how can he post that picture in church? Because one of the things is, if we look at a perspective of something that is wrong, then we were going to make a conclusion of a Jesus that is not right. So if we're going to use the dictionary version of what we say worthy is, we're not going to see the full picture of who Jesus is. Now, I know most of you are shocked by that, but the reality is, that is what he actually was showing. There is a true reality. There is a picture of Jesus that if we look with the wrong vision, we see the wrong Jesus. And we see that throughout Scripture. There's multiple stories, but I'm going to share two, one out of the Old Testament and one out of the New Testament. And I'm going to share how the people expected Jesus to react and to be, but then Jesus came in a different way. And during this fast, during this time of prayer, there's moments for us where I feel, and this is encouragement and exhortation. Now, exhortation is a challenging word that encourages us more into God. So this is going to be an exhortation that's going to challenge our heart and our perspective and call us into the more of Jesus. Elijah at the Mount of Horeb was expecting more fire. He was expecting more winds, like hurricane winds, to come. But Jesus came as a whisper in 1 Kings 19, verse 13, 11 to 13. When Jesus was born, the first century Jews expected a political conqueror. They expected a king. They expected somebody to come and overthrow the Roman government. And they thought he's going to take it by violence, by force, by blood. He did take it by blood. Just his blood on a cross. Matthew 21 and Luke 24. And as you sat here this morning, and Derek started encouraging those three couples, and your heart was like, but God, what about me? I've been serving you for so many years. Why aren't I being encouraged? Why is nobody noticing me? I've given up every Wednesday. I've never missed the community. Why doesn't anyone say, well done, my good and faithful? I was once like that. I've been working in ministry now for 9 years, and I started off working a part of a team, admin team, and we did all of the admin in the congregation. And one of the things was that as you do that, you start to get used to doing everything, and then you expect everyone to say thank you. But after 4 years of doing things, people stop forgetting that, hey, there's a person behind the scenes that does things. And you kind of sit in meetings like this, and your expectation is like, yo, God, touch me this morning, speak to me, give me encouragement. And then they're like, thank you for organizing that camp. Thank you, Pete. And then you're like, but I did the work. And then you get despondent, and you get miffed, and you get upset with God, and you're like, why is this happening? Is my sacrifice, is my struggle, is my giving worth it? And I got to a place where I had to ask this question, is Jesus really worth it? And if he is, why? And if you sat here this morning and you asked and you felt that, why wasn't my name mentioned? Why wasn't I touched when they prayed for people? Why wasn't my healing happening? Why didn't my tongues come? I want to say, weigh up this question. Is he worthy? There's this beautiful song that started the morning myself and Marius met, and we looked at the cross. And as we looked at the cross, the song just kept repeating in my head. And it's like the start of the preach. It's, is he worthy? Is he worthy of all blessing and honor and glory? And it's kind of like the song starts off as trying to convince you, as the listener or the worshiper, that is he worthy? So what determines worth? Like I said, worthy literally means to bring the scales into balance. It means that there is an equal weight of something. And if we want to see if someone is worthy, and if we want to see what something's worth, we need to bring the scales into balance. And there's two ways we do that. The first way is we know who they are. The second way is to know what they have done. If I say Alexander, most of you would think of the great. Why? What did he do? He conquered most of the world. But who was he actually? There's a story that goes out about him, and I'm using an ancient example so that I don't offend somebody's idol or role model this morning. But I'm using an ancient example where Alexander the Great had his best friend, one of his closest companions, somebody that saved his life on multiple times, killed by his own hand because he disagreed with him. But we call him Alexander the Great, worthy of a great title. So why is Jesus worthy? If you want to turn your Bible to Revelation 4, it's not going to be on the screen. I purposely didn't put it on the screen. Revelation 4, verse 11 is the start of that song, Is He Worthy? And it starts off with saying, Worthy are you, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. And then Revelation 5 is this picture of John still in heaven, being prophetic picture of John being taken into heaven. And he sits in heaven, and there is a point where on the right hand of God the Father, there's a scroll, and there's a call. Is there anyone worthy to open the scroll? And nobody in all of heaven, all of the earth, no angel, no creature, was found worthy. And then we transported to this place where John is crying, he's weeping, because there's no one worthy. And I'm just paraphrasing Revelation 5. So I'm telling the story. You can read it for yourself. We are going to get to more of reading it. And then one of the elders said to me, Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals. Let's pause there. The Lion of Judah. But then John turned around and he looked. And did he see a lion? No. He saw a lamb that was slain. He saw a lamb standing. And he saw the lamb, the worthy one, being able to open the scroll. And then they continued to say, they all started to sing a new song. And the new song is, Worthy are you to take the scroll and open its seals. For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God. For every tribe and every language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priest to God, and they shall reign on earth. And they continue to sing. And this is the part that it takes basically what happens in Revelation 4:11. And they rewrite the song, Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Worthy is the Lamb who has received power, wealth, wisdom, might, honor, glory, and blessing. Who is he? He's the Lion of Judah. He's the Lamb that was slain. There is so much more to Jesus. If we read through the scriptures, we read more of who he is. He is the God with us. He is the one that sends us the Helper. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Alpha and Omega. Who is he? He is worthy. That is who he is. He's worthy. And what has he done? He took my place on the cross. So when I look at the cross, I don't look at the cross with the expectation of the cross will give me more. There's nothing more the cross can give you. Scripture teaches us that before the foundation of this world, Jesus already decided to die on the cross for us. Our response to the cross is, yes, he is worthy. The cross is not the place we go to get our quick McDonald's meal and say, Lord, I need this, this, and this from you. The cross is the place we go to say, Lord, Galatians 2:20, it's no longer I who live, but you who live in me. When we fast and pray and we look at the cross with the perspective that the cross will meet my every need, I will just bring my problems to the cross, we miss one of the key reasons of the cross. Jesus has paid it all for your every need. But the cross is a place that brings us to worship. So I want to ask this question. Is he worthy in your valley? What is your valley? Your valley is what happened this morning. We prayed for healing, but you did not receive it. If we prayed for healing this morning and you did not receive it, does that make God any less worthy than what he is? No, because if we only pray to God for a yes, then we pray to God with conditions. And our conditions is that we have to die to self and live to him. You pray for your marriage, but it's still struggling. That is your valley. If Jesus is only worthy when he says yes to us, then our worship is conditional. Jesus is worthy because he is God with us. When you don't get healed, guess who's with you? Jesus. When your marriage is struggling, guess who's fighting harder for your marriage than you and your wife together? Jesus. Why? Because he already fought for it on the cross. And if we think about worthiness of Jesus, we think about the scales, and we think that his life outweighs my struggle in my finances, or my struggle in my marriage, or my struggle in my relationships with my friends. What about your desert or the storm? Derek preached about that a few weeks ago. Is he worthy in your storm or your desert? You go to church, you fast, you pray, but you experience no goosebumps effect. You know that moment when you're in the place slaan? And she says, that's a heilige oomblik. This is so holy. I've got goosebumps now. Sometimes it's just because you're cold. It's true. Jesus is faithful regardless if the room is loud or quiet, because it's his nature to be faithful and true. What about when it goes super well with you? Your bank account is full, your friends are great, your family is great, your relationship with one another is great, your health is perfect, everything is going amazing. The truth is, before you met Jesus, your bank account didn't matter to him because you were eternally bankrupt. It's only in meeting Jesus that we find true value and true life. And that's where we turn to. What is your view of the cross in light of the worthiness of Jesus? I already said that the cross is not McDonald's. You don't come with a list of demands, but the cross is a place where you can see what is already done for us. Just as we are reminded by communion, the act of Jesus dying on the cross, being resurrected and alive, sitting at the right hand of the Father today. We look at the cross and we see the cross and we see all sickness taken up, all sin taken up, all struggles taken up. It keeps our faith strong. If we treat God like a drive-through, your faith will break the moment life gets hard. Have you ever went through that? You've trusted, and then things went well with the Lord. He said yes to a few things, and then all of a sudden you hit a wall. For me, that feeling that I spoke about early, that thing of like when other people got a thank you for doing things, when other people started rising up in the Lord and other people started doing things in the Lord, that feeling only died when I realized that I am worth very little compared to the cross. I had to come before the Lord and I had to show that my faith is not dependent on my works or what other people say about me. My faith is dependent on the act of Jesus. The cross is where we clearly see why Jesus is worthy of all praise. This morning, before worship started, was there a moment where you looked at the cross and said, Jesus, you are worthy of all my praise? Or did you wait for Morris to get up and encourage us to sing? See, the cross is a reminder that he is worthy to be praised. The cross reminds us that we belong to him and that he deserves every part of our lives. The cross is a place that allows us to die to self. The cross is a place where we find new life. The cross is a place that moves us from a place of wanting to a place of giving. How beautiful is that? Lord, give, give, give. No, Lord, how can I serve? How can I build your body? How can I love my neighbor? And then this one for most of us, the cross is an anchor in hard times. True realization of Christ's worthiness at the cross always moves us away from ourselves into serving others. If we really see the cross, we don't see ourselves. We see how do we love those around us. I've been part of this congregation 4 months now. I think so, 4 months. I haven't been counting, so that's why I've lost track. And there's been a few times where people in the church has actually gone through terrible times, struggling, really struggling. And then there's this thing that gets sent out, a meal train. And oftentimes we find it difficult to find people that wants to give themselves to a meal train. Let me share this. We were blessed by a meal train. Maurice was on leave. Myself and Jess celebrated our 8-year anniversary. And guess what happened? Jess' knee started giving problems, so she couldn't walk. Then she got a low blood sugar, so she could not even move. I got so sick that I started shivering. And then while it's hot, and Jess is like, are you okay? And I'm like, can't move. My body is sore. So we were blessed by a meal train. And we are so thankful for that. But we've also been part of setting up a few meal trains. And one of the easiest ways to love in this congregation is to take a meal to somebody. But can I share this? This is a crazy thought. Can we do that without setting up a meal train? It's a crazy way of loving one another. Maybe the morning, if you have somebody on your heart, Herschel, hey, Herschel, I want to bring you a meal tonight. Is that okay? Did you already take out stuff? He's probably going to say no, and he's probably going to welcome the free food. Am I right? No, Herschel, yes, a little there. Yes, over there. Hallelujah. That's one way we can love one another. How about this? When we look at the cross, and we are reminded of our friend going through a tough time, like, let's pray for Errol, for instance. We see Errol, and we see that his wife is not with him at the moment. It must be tough. I don't want to be away from my wife. I love her. He loves his wife. But she has work, and she goes. But I'm looking at the cross, and I'm experiencing something of Jesus, and I'm saying, not my stress, not my worries, not my things, but Lord, bless Errol. And then you send Errol a voice note. Hey, Errol, I've just been praying for you. I want to say, you're a rock star, man. Keep doing what you're doing. How much would we, as a body, change? When the focus goes away from me, my needs, my lack, my of, to him, his worthiness. The Greek axios occurs 6 times in the New Testament, and it usually speaks in a manner worthy of, a manner matching Jesus. And if we look at the first one, we look at the word axios, it's a word that means really that thing, the scales are balanced. And then the adjective axias, spelled exactly the same way, without the little strepy on the top of the O. It appears 41 times in Scripture. And we see Paul, I'm going to use 3 of the encouragements. Paul wrote all 6. We see Paul in Ephesians 4:1, write, we need to walk. Everyone say walk. Not run, not crawl, walk. In a manner worthy of the calling you have received. Who can tell me what that calling is? If you know a little bit of Ephesians, think about chapter 1, 2, and 3. The call of salvation. The greatest gift. Now, if you put the gift of salvation on this side, and you put your walking, your day-to-day on this side, does the scales axio? Does the scales turn into a place of worthy? Or does it lean towards one side? Now, Paul didn't write this to say that our works determine our worthiness. He wrote this to encourage us that as we live our lives, And as we do it in a way that is worthy, we bring glory to this side. We bring honor to this side, and we bring praise to this side. So the first way is to walk in your salvation. Derek shared with me earlier, there might be some of us here sitting here that does not have a relationship with Jesus. And the salvation of Jesus is he died on the cross for us. He took my sin and he suffered and endured the lashes, the beating, and then the walk up the mountain. And then he endured the cross naked, being ridiculed, having a thorn of crown of thorns. And he endured humiliation for me. I say for me, because it's a personal choice we each have to make. Paul continues to say in Philippians, conduct in action. And he says, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel. They say there's five gospels. You're the fifth. And when people look at your life, do they see the worthiness of Jesus? Or do they see the struggle of the world? I know. That one hurts, eh? We had an interesting chat. It was quite a great chat. We actually spoke about, I am more a lion, and my wifey, she's more a lamb. So when we go to Christ, we see the two different aspects of Christ. I see the lion, the one that deals with sin, the one that, he roars at things. And my wife, she is the one that, she brings grace and mercy to my life. She colors me in so well. But we've had this chat where we were like dealing with this thing of like, Liffy, you need to see the lion more. And she's like, but was he Christ? And I'm like, Nia, the lion. And she's like, but the Christ. And I'm like, no, the lion. And we had this chat, but we close our room because I know that my daughter is 4 years old and she can pick up when we have conversations. But our bedroom door is a little cat door. So our daughter comes and she peeks in. And then she goes to school and she tells the teachers at school, Mommy was in die moeilikheid, sy was stout. So we get a message from the school, what happened? And I'm like, we're just trying to be worthy of the gospel. We're trying to build one another up in love to show more of Jesus. But the beautiful thing is, my daughter saw there is something that the Lord is tweaking in both of us. And I want to ask you, like Philippians says, do you live your life in a way that is worthy of the gospel? It is a life in action. Colossians, I'm almost done. I think that's, yeah. Walk in a manner that is worthy of the Lord to please him in all respects. Is Jesus on the cross? Is the cross worthy of your choices, your attitude, and your action? Paul wrote this to say, don't live a cheap life when you're given something so valuable. Let the way you live reflect the treasure which Jesus has given you. If we take the scales this morning and we look at the scales, on this side is Jesus being worthy because of who he is. Our Savior, our King, the Lord above lords, the God above everything else, the one that when one day every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess, all of heaven currently singing to him, worthy, worthy, worthy are you, Lord. Worthy are you. Holy are you, Lord God Almighty. On this side is him. And on this side is our reflection of him. We need to reflect him in all aspects of our lives. Does our behavior match up with his worthiness? This is a quote from Francis Chan. Jesus is worthy of our total devotion, not because of following him guarantees an easy path. I can promise you that following Jesus is not always easy. Reading your word is not always easy. Praying is not always easy. Fasting for me is not easy. As much as it is a blessing, I love food. If you cannot say, I do. Jesus gave us food. But I love when I get to a place where my flesh can die so much that he can get honor and glory. And if that means me missing a meal for 1, 2, 3, 4 days, then that means me missing a meal. But because he alone is Lord of glory, crucified and resurrected, we worship him. I don't worship God for what he can give me anymore. We can ask God things, and we should. Jesus teaches us. Ask the Father, and he will give. But if this journey in the last 2 weeks and the next 2 weeks is our journey to the cross where we came with our list of expectations, then we've missed something of who he is. He is worthy of our prayers. He is worthy of our sacrifice. He is worthy of our gifts. In Romans 12, verse 1, later on, it speaks for one body, many members, and it says, everyone has been given a grace gift. Bring your grace gift. Build up the body. Love one another. Pray for one another. And share the gospel. I love this quote by R.T. Kendall. The gospel starts with me. Every morning.